Chapter 3, Innovation Agreement. Sir Terry Leahy, retired CEO of Tesco, said, "Innovation is the ability of an organization to change as its outside world changes. You have to have that in an organization." A major mistake. As we embarked on bringing systems thinking to the world of innovation, we made a major mistake. We assumed that everyone understood what innovation was and why it was important. The mistake was discovered and quantified during a quarterly review of data from our Innovation Culture Survey. The survey measures employee and management perceptions and mindset towards innovation. We have fielded this survey before every innovation project the ranch and the innovation engineering community have run since 1995. What we learned was shocking. 7 out of 10 managers don't agree that there is a need for their organization to innovate. 8 out of 10 managers see no urgency for their organization to innovate. It was an embarrassing moment for me. For years, I had mistakenly thought that everyone saw innovation as I did. The reality is that the majority of managers and business leaders don't see innovation as needed or urgent. As an aside, we missed this data insight because of the way we had been reporting the data. For 20 years, we reported results relative to a world-class standard. During this analysis, we looked at the data in the absolute, not on a relative basis. The result was an entirely new insight, a new beginning. To address the lack of agreement and urgency that we had discovered from our analysis, we implemented a program of beginning all of our conversations and classes with a discussion on what is an innovation, how do you know one when you see one, and why innovate. Explain in a way that would motivate workers and leaders. If you can't agree on what an innovation is or why it's important to innovate, then the rest of the conversation on how to innovate is irrelevant. What is an innovation? If you want to be entertained, ask 5 people in your organization how they define an innovation. More specifically, how would they know one when they saw one? The word innovation has been used and abused to the point where there is little agreement on its definition. The innovation engineering community's definition of innovation is very precise. Meaningfully unique. Meaningful in that it has an obvious value to the customer. That is, the idea is so meaningful, customers would willingly give up their existing behaviors for it. Importantly, it is also instantly understandable as to why should I, the customer, care. Unique. Unique in that it is a genuine original. It's a non-obvious leap that doesn't exist in the world. Often, it offers a quantifiable advantage such that you can put a number on how much better it is versus the existing alternative. That is, if there is one. How to evaluate if your innovation is meaningfully unique? The simple way to identify if your new or improved product or service is innovative is to ask the question, are customers willing to pay more money for it? No customer wants to pay more money for anything. If they are willing to pay a premium, then the offering must be both meaningful and unique. Conversely, if they are not willing to pay a premium because they can achieve essentially the same benefit or effect elsewhere, then it's a commodity. It's not a requirement to charge a higher price for an innovation. It's also possible to charge the same as competing offerings and use the increased demand to drive increased sales volume. For system improvements or nonprofit causes, the equivalent question is, does the innovation offer a value that is so meaningful and unique that other stakeholders, be they departments, employees, partners, are willing to invest their time, energy, and/or money into changing from what they are doing now to the new approach? You can quantitatively assess your meaningful uniqueness by asking potential users, customers, and stakeholders for their ratings of purchase intent, which measures meaningfulness, and new and different, which measures uniqueness. You measure each on a 0 to 10 scale. Then you weight the average ratings 60-40, applying 60% rating on purchase and 40% to new and different. Our research has found that this is the single most predictive measure of marketplace success within innovation. Details on the data behind this can be found in the academic research article, The Real-Time Response Survey in New Product Research, It's About Time, published in the Journal of Consumer Marketing. I wrote it with Lynn Colley of the University of Oregon and Mike Kaczynski. Other qualitative ways to identify if an idea is meaningfully unique include, is the idea so surprising, so original, so newsworthy that it'll generate word of mouth? Ideas that offer real news spread by word of mouth. Is your idea so original that customers would share it with others and on the internet via their social media outlets? A common question I ask is, would a consumer post this innovation on Facebook? And if so, what would they write? Does the idea instantly spark additional ideas? Great innovations set off a chain reaction of ideas because they open our minds to seeing the world in a new and different way. Is the idea patentable? This is my personal favorite. Patentability is arguably the most clear and specific definition that exists for what is a true innovation. To be patentable, the innovation has to be a non-obvious leap for somebody who has ordinary skill in the field. And frankly, an idea that is obvious to somebody like your competition would be hard to defend as a real innovation, wouldn't it? An innovation is also genuinely meaningfully unique when you can't stop thinking about it. When an idea is a real innovation, you have an urgency to get started on making the idea real as soon as possible. This is especially important with today's millennial generation. They rightly give an even greater importance to working on things that matter. Richard Branson of Virgin put it this way. These days, I think you've got to talk about your value proposition. Why are you so proud of your product? And you've got to communicate that pride in ways that add up to a young generation that's very well informed and very idealistic. The young care about where products come from. They care about what the company that makes the product actually does in the world or not. But you can't fake it. You have to say screw business as usual and just do it. The three dimensions of meaningfulness. For innovative ideas to go from idea to reality, it takes energy. The more meaningful they are, the easier it is to gather the energy required to make them happen. There are three dimensions of meaningfulness. Meaningful to customer is a given. The innovation must matter to customers. If the customer doesn't see the innovation as offering greater benefit value relative to the price charged, then they will demand the benefit at a lower price. Meaningful to the company is a given. If the organization cannot profitably develop, produce, and deliver the innovation, then there will be no energy to pursue it. And if the innovation is not aligned with the leadership's vision of where the company needs to go in the future, then the idea will not happen, no matter how potentially profitable it is in the short term. Meaningful to customer and company are classic requirements for innovations. However, they are not enough. Making meaningful change happen is hard work. In order to generate the energy needed for change, the idea must have a third level of meaningful uniqueness. Number three. Meaningful to workers is critical. For ideas to happen, they must be meaningful to those who are working on the project. Academic research on innovation success confirms that for meaningful change to happen, it must be driven by intrinsic motivation. Quite simply, you can't bribe people to change. They must want to make change happen themselves. They must love an innovation to see it through from idea to reality. As Wilbur Wright, one of the Wright brothers, wrote to his father, "It is my belief that flight is possible. And while I am taking up the investigation for pleasure rather than profit, I think there is a slight possibility of achieving fame and fortune from it. Meaningfulness is more than skin deep. A classic mistake is to believe you can take the same old product or service and dress it up with a new skin and see dramatically different results. The reality is, with the internet, your smoke and mirrors will be found out very quickly. A bad painting in a fancy frame is still a bad painting. A classic example of this is the horse carriage business in Cincinnati. In its day, Cincinnati was one of the world's leaders in the manufacturing of horse and buggy carriages. One of the leading companies of the day was the Alliance Carriage Company. As the automobile developed, they rejected it. Instead of innovating their carriages by adding a motor, they turned their energy towards design and marketing, investing in massive variations of design and the mailing of successful salesmen. These were special brochures that enabled endless choice and a new direct sale business model. In the end, they resorted to price as their point of differentiation. An advertisement of the day claimed, "We offer more for less money than any other buggy or harness factory in the world." The owners of the Alliance Carriage Company were optimizing a product whose life cycle was coming to an end. They tried to use the decline to their advantage. In the advertisement, they write about their buying up of other factories. "We now have one of the largest carriage and harness factories in the world. The Alliance factory runs when others shut down or break up." Sounds familiar? Industry in decline, mergers and acquisitions create larger, failing companies. Existing players resort to marketing and design gimmicks. The industry eventually dies as new technology makes it obsolete. The right choice for the Alliance Carriage Company was to restart their business by leveraging their skills and resources. Interestingly, they were offered the opportunity to become part of the automobile industry. Both Henry Ford and P.W. Packard came to Cincinnati to find financing and to acquire a license to use patents owned by the city's carriage makers. However, the owners of the many carriage making companies in Cincinnati were very loyal to the horse. They saw no need to change. Eventually, Ford and Packard each found investors living in Detroit, and thus the automotive capital of the U.S. became Detroit, not Cincinnati. Meaningful uniqueness creates a chain reaction of positives. Meaningful uniqueness grows sales from both new and established customers. Tracking research studies confirm not only higher rates of new customer trial, but also higher repeat purchase rates when an offering is meaningfully unique versus competitive offerings. Just as importantly, when your offerings are meaningfully unique, a new energy is ignited among suppliers, employees, managers, owners, and customers. They have a sense that they are part of something that makes a difference, a real difference in the world. They have a sense that they are doing something that matters, something that makes a meaningful difference in their soul. The poet David White, in his book, The Three Marriages, Reimagining Work, Self, and Relationships, defines good work this way. Good work, like a good marriage, needs a dedication to something larger than our own detailed everyday needs. Good work asks for promises to something imagined that is larger than our present understanding of it. We may not have an arranged ceremony at the altar to ritualize our dedication to work, but many of us can for a certain work, a certain career, or a certain future. A moment when we held our hand in a fist and made unspoken vows to what we had just glimpsed. A common reflection for those who have embraced the innovation engineering mindset is, for the first time, I am doing the kind of meaningful and creative work that I imagined I'd be doing when I started my career. Two types of innovations, customer opportunities and internal work systems. Innovation is about new products and services, but it's also about changing how we work. It's about how everyone does their job, from the receptionist to the production line employee to the accounting department. We group new innovations into two types. VIO, very important opportunities. These are innovations for growing sales and/or profitability from new or current customers or markets. They are externally focused. They include ideas for new or improved offerings. The other type is VIS, very important systems. These are innovations for working smarter. They are internally focused. They include ideas for enabling growth, cost savings, performance, quality, or productivity. It is not uncommon for system innovations to be enablers of new opportunities. Very important. Very important is added as a description to opportunities and systems to make it clear they are a priority. Every organization has things they must do to keep the current business growing. The very important designation provides clarity on what things people should be working on that are beyond their day job. Why innovation? When price is the primary driver of customer purchasing decisions, your offering is a commodity. Throughout the ages, profitability has been determined based on where an offering exists on the continuum from commodity to monopoly. Most new businesses start out as monopolies, and over time, competition copies, and what was once a monopoly is soon a commodity. The difference today is that the internet is accelerating this process as consumers are able to learn the truth, the whole truth, about your offering faster than ever before. To make it worse, internet price shopping and bidding systems make it easy for everyone to buy cheaper. And when there is no difference between offerings, the discounting systems become the true driver of sales volumes. The impact of being the pioneer versus the follower with the technology can be seen in research on order of entry into the marketplace. On average, net profitability goes down by 50% or more for those who follow versus those who pioneer. Innovation is the only way to beat the business life cycle. All organizations, products, services, and even careers follow a life cycle. Number one, birth, where the meaningful unique offering comes to market. Profitability and optimism is high. Two, growth, where profitability grows as we become more efficient at producing the new offering. Three, highest profits, where we hit maximum efficiency as a result of our efficiency efforts. Four, cost cutting, where competition is matched. We are now becoming a commodity and are in a fight for our lives. Five, death, where it's just not worth the effort anymore. Friends, there is no fountain of youth for humans, but for organizations there is, and it's called innovation. Innovation allows corporations, nonprofits, governments, and societies to restart, reboot, and be reborn. With innovation, commodity products, services, and companies can be reborn as monopolies. Ben Franklin once said, "The only certainties are death and taxes." And if you don't innovate, he's right. All products, services, companies, and yes, even careers eventually die. The key is to reinvent yourself before the decline occurs. Once negative momentum starts, it takes tremendous time, energy, and money to turn it around. With innovation, the business life cycle is restarted. For example, P&G's Tide laundry detergent still maintains a premium profit margin, even in Walmart stores. The reason is simple: 61 innovations in 61 years. At P&G, I was taught that there is no brand life cycle, only brand managers who did not do their job leading their business into the future. A.G. Lafley defined the importance of innovation this way in his book, The Game Changer. Winning is pretty much the same in today's business world as it has been for decades. Create new customers, new products, and new services that drive revenue growth and profits. What's different is how to do it. The acceleration of change today is unprecedented. It creates opportunities as well as the threat of obsolescence. The best way to win in this world is through innovation. But innovation has often been left to technical experts or perceived as serendipity or luck. Lone geniuses working on their own have indeed created new industries or revolutionized existing ones. But there is a problem. You can't wait for the light bulb to go off in someone's head. The fruits of innovation, sustained and ever-improving organic revenue growth and profits, have to become integral to the way you run your business. That means making innovation central to the goals, strategy, structure, systems, culture, leadership, and motivating purpose and values of your business. Companies led by great leaders never reach maturity or even decline. Instead, these leaders proactively reinvent their organization and their offerings on a never-ending basis. John Muldoon, innovation engineering black belt and innovation leader at the Edrington Group in Scotland, described the challenge this way. The real determining factor is having a leader and a team that have the courage to determine their own future, not becoming a victim of someone else's future. Never-ending cycles of cost savings and growth. A misperception is that the innovation engineering movement is against cost savings, and that's incorrect. Cost savings are critical to innovations and company success. That's because whenever something new is developed, it's inefficient, because it's new. Research reported in the book The Breakthrough Imperative on the impact of experience report that with every doubling of experience, costs go down an average of 25%. The impact of experience is a key reason why profits grow as you go up the left side of the life cycle curve. It's also the reason why those who innovate continually get further and further ahead of those who don't. The innovators start out with offerings that are less efficient. Then as they gain experience, they get smarter and smarter at driving down costs. Those that copy are always behind on the experience effect, as they are challenged with sales and profitability disadvantage. World-class innovation companies are also world-class at reducing costs after they ship innovations. At Procter & Gamble, when a new product was recommended, a key part of the approval process was the pricing recommendation. This document would outline why the product could sell at a premium, why it was meaningfully unique, as well as the costs of production, both today and over the next 5 years. The estimates would include cost savings over the next 5 years, both identified and unidentified, but known based on the experience effect. Sadly, at many companies, this is not understood. When the financial forecasts are done wrong, the new idea is compared versus the existing offering that has been produced and optimized for many years. The result is good ideas get killed because of a lack of understanding that meaningful uniqueness means you can sell at a higher price and that the experience effect means that costs will go down over time. Cost savings are critical for helping innovations grow in profitability as they go up the left side of the experience curve. Conversely, cutting costs when a business is on the right side, the downward side of the life cycle, can be a huge mistake. Leaders must ask themselves, is it a better investment of time, energy, and money to reduce cost? Or would it be better to invest those resources in reinventing the offering to restart the life cycle curve? A senior government statistician once shared with me a national study involving tens of thousands of companies. The study found that those manufacturers that did the most lean manufacturing work to cut costs and increase capacity were the companies that were most likely to go out of business. Now, his conclusion wasn't that lean was bad. In fact, he was a huge advocate for it. What he did feel was that it was being used at the wrong time. Instead of trying to cut costs to ignite growth, those companies needed to focus their energies on reinventing themselves and then use lean to optimize the profitability of their new offerings. Three levels of innovations: working smarter ideas, core projects, and leap projects. There are three levels of meaningful uniqueness when it comes to innovations. Working smarter ideas. These are simple ideas that you should just do. They are small, low to no risk ideas for working smarter. They are often suggested by and enacted by employees to solve problems that they face during their day-to-day work. Collectively, they can add up to amazing impacts. As you will learn in Chapter 10, academic research finds that with the proper systems, employee-driven cost savings ideas can generate 4 times greater financial impact than formal cost savings projects. They also transform the culture. Research by Dean Schroeder and Alan Robinson finds that companies can realize from 12 to 100 ideas implemented per employee per year. The goal is to create a system in which working smarter ideas can be suggested, approved, and executed quickly and efficiently. Core innovation projects. These are incremental innovations to existing offerings or systems. They are low on risk and uncertainty. However, they have more complexity than just do ideas. They often require coordination across departments or the investment of time, energy, and/or resources to implement them. To be implemented, they require a more formal project management approach, requiring 2 to 4 phases depending on complexity. They are critically important to the growth of the organization. A balanced innovation pipeline has 85% of its innovation projects in this area. These projects generate about 50% of the profit growth for an organization. Leap innovation projects. These are disruptive innovations. They have the potential for high reward, and as a result of being very unique, they also have a higher risk of failure. They are ideas that change the trajectory of the organization. In a balanced portfolio, they represent 15% of projects, but about 50% of profit growth. These are the new business models, new technology, and new market projects. Leap innovation projects give your organization an unfair advantage versus competition. Note, Coca-Cola and Google both use a 90% core, 10% leap balance for how they focus their investments in workforce. I advocate a slightly higher percentage for LEAP, 15%, because frankly, most companies overestimate what is a true LEAP innovation, and I find it results in a better balance. The challenge with innovation is rarely a lack of core innovations. Most organizations are good at incremental change, and this is fine, so long as the innovation pipeline is a healthy level of disruptive leap innovations that can create a new future for the organization. Graphing of the data on the relationship between meaningfulness and uniqueness finds a cone-shaped distribution. As ideas become more unique, the more likely they are to be either wicked good, thus having high meaningfulness, or wicked bad, low meaningfulness. In effect, high uniqueness leap innovations have greater risk and reward. Conversely, core innovations that are less unique offer much less risk, but also less chance of big reward. Harvard Business Review reports there is a 5x greater chance of profitable success with ideas that are both meaningful and unique. We reduce the risk associated with ideas that are very unique through rapid plan-do-study-act cycles of learning, covered in Chapter 8. For most organizations, the challenge with working smarter ideas and core projects is not creating them. Rather, the challenge is that they take too long and cost too much to discover and develop them. We need a faster and more efficient system for executing them. Even Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, recognized the importance of core innovations. As he said, "I have a great respect for incremental improvement, and I've done that sort of thing in my life, but I've always been attracted to the more revolutionary changes. I don't know why, because they're harder. They're much more stressful emotionally, and you usually go through a period where everybody tells you you've completely failed." The challenge with leap innovations is finding the courage to pursue them, and once you've found them, resisting the temptation to sandblast off all the originality to make them fit your existing business model, production resources, and/or marketing approach. So what did you learn? In your career, when did you work on a project that was meaningfully unique? What did it feel like working on that project? In your career, when did you work on a project that was not meaningfully unique? And what did that feel like? When have you lived the various points on the innovation life cycle? What did each feel like? What prevents you from pursuing ideas that are true leap innovations? Core innovations should be fast and easy to execute. What makes them hard to do? Do you give time and energy to very important system innovations? What else did you learn?